I've never been better. I've never been worse. Look down over Eden. Found my paddle and my curse. Always too far. Never as close as I could be. I'll give you what you want.
Too Much Rock podcast number 420. I'm your host, Sid Souter. We started things off this week with a track from Brandon Phillips and The Condition. That song is called Clean and Sober, and that is brand new, unreleased, world premiere material right there, lent to us by Brandon Phillips so we could promote the Apocalypse Meow concert. And that's what this whole podcast is about today. I'm joined here in the studio with Rhonda Lyne. Rhonda, hello, welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back here. I think this is the third year we've had you on to talk about this event.
That sounds right.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and dig right into it. I mentioned that Brandon Phillips is playing this concert. What is this concert? How many days? Where are we at? I know it seems to shift every year a little bit.
Yeah, this is our 10th anniversary, so we decided we'd do it up big. So we're going to have 3 days. We're going to start out Friday, November 3rd, down at Mills Record Company. Saturday, November 4th and 5th, we'll be at Record Bar.
Okay. Friday starts out big and loud, I think, at Mills. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, not too loud with the country duo, which is Casey Rouse and Marco Pasqualini. Then we'll have a little burlesque from the Bohemian Cult Revival, which we're promising it'll be rather PG, so you can still bring the kids out if you're comfortable with that. And then the Headlight Rivals are a band out of Manhattan, Kansas, where I spent a long time, and so I'm excited to have them on board, and they're kind of more pop, kind of rock.
Well, let's find out there. That's a band that I was not familiar with. And when you told me they were playing, I looked them up and I really enjoy their new EP. And we're going to play a track from them right now. This song is called Palm Readers.
Maybe I should get my palms read so I could tell you all about my early death. I should get my head right, cause lately I've been staying up all night thinking about you. Thinking about you. Thinking about you. Thinking about you. I'm not begging you to save my soul. I'm not asking you to leave. Rock and roll. I'm not telling you to change anything you don't want to. I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. So you win.
Welcome back to Too Much Rock Podcast. I have got Rhonda Line here in the studio with me, and we're talking about the Apocalypse Meow concert. Hello, welcome.
Hello.
We played two tracks there, starting off with Headlight Rivals with the song Palm Readers. They are playing Friday night at Mills. And then we heard from Chris Meck with the song Destination Revolution. And Chris is on Saturday, is that right?
Yeah. They usually typically have played on Friday in the past, but this year, since it was our 10th anniversary, had him play on Saturday.
And why is Chris Meck always a part of Apocalypse Meow?
Well, as some people may know, Chris was Abigail Henderson, our founder's husband, and they shared many bands together, The Gaslights, Atlantic Fade Out, Tiny Horse. The whole reason we're doing this event, the first year was when Abigail Henderson was diagnosed with breast cancer. The Kansas City music community really came together and helped her overcome some daunting financial hurdles she had with the diagnosis. And from that first Apocalypse Meow benefit became the Midwest Music Foundation. And Abby swore back to give back to the music community that helped her. So it's now an annual benefit, and as I said, it's our 10th year.
I see this year you're using a tagline that this is a family tradition.
Yeah, Jed Kite, who's done our poster and our artwork, our crazy Apocalypse Meow cat, ever since the second year. The first year was Zach Trover, who used to be the art director at The Pitch. Mm-hmm. We had had some machine guns. We kind of had to tone that down, you know, with today's climate. So we toned our militant cat down a little bit, and Judd's done our poster and artwork ever since. But he came up with that tagline, and I think it really fits because a lot of us, you know, we always say the family you choose. We may not be blood relatives, but we're, you know, the music community is a very close-knit family in some ways.
Yeah, and I think that it shows not only in the work that is being done, but even the bands that are playing. A lot of them are part of a Casey family. Not a lot of new bands, a lot of people who have been heavily invested in the scene and part of the scene and part of that family that you talk about. So that makes a lot of sense. One of the bands you've got playing on Saturday night is Split Lip Rayfield. Split Lip Rayfield is an interesting story. The band has been together for a very long time, but suffered a somewhat devastating loss. I think it was 2007 that Kirk Runstrom from the band passed. He was diagnosed. I think he had, it was cancer that eventually took him. And it's interesting that that's about the 10-year anniversary. So musicians' health care, obviously a concern for them as they dealt with that that head on. Was that a concern? Is that something that was on their mind as they were brought in to be part of this?
I think so. We've asked them a few times, and the scheduling never worked. So we asked again this year, and I talked to Eric Martis, and they really wanted to be part of this. And personally, I've known the band since their inception. My first Split Lip show was in 95, so I've seen them in five different states. I was friends with them. They do an annual benefit when Kirk was diagnosed called String Break down on Jeff Eaton's family farm. And I've been a part of that. This was the 12th annual this year. When Kirk passed, it became a fundraiser for various other cancer charities and a trust fund for his daughters. But they've been a huge part of my life. So I was really, you know, it meant something to me to get them involved with this. And plus, they're just a great band. I was thinking about that the other day. They've been a band now as long without Kirk as they were with Kirk. And I was, you know, looking through my CDs, I didn't have any of the newer stuff. So I actually went online and got that when I knew I was going to be doing some radio shows. I'm like, I need the new Split Lip.
Well, I'm going to play a track from the new Split Lip. This song is going to tone things down a bit, but I think it's my favorite on the album. This one's called Drunk and Sad.
Don't you get drunk and sad tonight. Let's just have a good time. Can't fight everyone you hate. And I can't bring nobody back from the dead. So if you get drunk tonight, well, I'm going home. And don't you bring up the past tonight. Let's just try to look ahead. I can't undo the things I did. And I can't help that I act like a kid. So if you bring up the past, well, I'm going home. Drunk and sad tonight. Let's just have a good time. I can make the green grass grow. But I can't stop the north wind, so. So if you get drunk tonight, girl, I'm going home. Thank you.
and welcome back to a very special Too Much Rock podcast. We're here talking with Rhonda Lyon to talk about the Apocalypse Meow benefit concert. We heard two bands that'll be playing on Saturday, Split Lip Rayfield with the song Drunk and Sad, and then we heard a Sandoval song that's called Sinner and Saint. Sandoval was involved in the very first Apocalypse Meow, is that right?
Yeah. Tony Laddish actually gave the event its name, which has become a little bit unique unless you know the story that Abby really liked cats and had kind of an unusual way of saying the word meow in everyday conversation and stage banner. So the first year we were very militant. We were, you know, Abigail's army against cancer. So Sandoval played the first one. Tony named the event, so we thought it'd be great to have him back this year. This is the first time they have played in 10 years as well. So, and another thing that Tony and Judd Kite, who did all of our design, and Kyle Hamrick, who I think's videotaped every event, and Steve Gardels, who's our Midcoast guy, and Baron Redman are making a short documentary that we're going to show both Saturday and Sunday. And it features interviews with the mayor, who gave us an amazing soundbite. And we're hopeful he'll come. It hasn't been confirmed yet, but he has been invited. It also features interviews with some of our staff and some of our grant recipients. And from that footage, I think they found a bigger story, so they're hoping to expand it at some time because they realized what a problem it is, healthcare, for, you know, not only musicians, but all artists and freelancers that don't have, you know, work-supplied insurance. It's really tough to afford healthcare. And so it kind of became a bigger story. So we're excited to show that documentary on Saturday and Sunday.
Let's talk a little bit more specifically about the Midwest Music Foundation. It's more than just Apocalypse Meow. What all does the Midwest Music Foundation do, and where might we see you?
Well, in addition to our healthcare initiative, which Apocalypse Meow is our largest fundraiser, when Abby passed away in 2013, we made her a promise to keep the benefit going and keep helping other musicians with medical emergencies. So now we have Abby's Fund for Musicians Healthcare. So if a musician has any kind of health emergency, they could apply for a grant and we could help them out and then guide them to other resources. In addition to the healthcare aspect, we do educational events. And we also do promotion of Kansas City music as a whole. We take a whole bunch of bands down to Austin each year during South by Southwest, and we have a showcase called Midcoast Takeover. And we do two stages, 4 days. We take all the sound and video production down from Kansas City, and the bar I mentioned before, Shangri-La, have become family to us as well. So they let us use that venue, and we just kind of take over for South by, and it's been really great. It's allowed Kansas City bands to play on a national stage. We've had USA Today, New York Times, Deli Magazine all give us coverage that a lot of the local bands might not get, that national press attention. So it's been a really great thing. We also support some of the local festivals, Middle of the Map, Westport Roots Festival, Crossroads Music Festival, Boulevardia. So our volunteers are always out working the other music festivals and just promoting the amazing music that's being made here in Kansas City.
Yeah, and I think it is even bigger than the festivals. I think I've seen you just in parking lots and tailgates.
Yes.
Anywhere that you can get an audience, I think, yeah. I've seen you guys out there.
We're working Chiefs game, which it's turning to a lot of work, but we're even out at the Chiefs games selling hot dogs, and we were parking cars at Greaserama. So anywhere we can spread the word and help us fundraise, really, we've done a lot of it at a grassroots level. We've been fortunate this year that we have received some grants from the Neighborhood Tourism Development Fund and Jackson County that have really helped us.
I noticed this year things end a little differently. It looks like there's a brunch that's part of the Apocalypse Meow festivities.
Yeah, this year we decided, since it was our 10th year, to expand back to 3 days. The original Apocalypse Meow, we had so many bands that wanted to play that we did 3 days, so we wanted to bring that back. And another thing we used to do is we'd have brunch at the old record bar after Meow just to kind of get together and talk about how things went. Our friends from Shangri-La down in Austin would come up a few years and we'd take them out. So we wanted to do that. And last year, the Expassionates played a show at Holy Cow on the Sunday after Meow. And I'd had several auction leftovers from our, that people had forgot to pick up their auction items. So I took those to Holy Cow and told everybody, come here if you want your stuff. And it worked out really good. So I talked to Scott Easterday, who's our board president, and he's like, let's do this again next year. And then when the record bar started having food again, we decided that was the easiest place because we wouldn't have to move everything the next day.
Well, I think that's about all we have here. I want to make sure, give you a moment here to talk about some of the sponsors, because that's what this is all about, is raising money, raising awareness, and especially for Abby's Fund, which, as we've talked about, is a very important cause. Who's on board for this one?
Well, Too Much Rock, of course, is our main stage sponsor. Like I mentioned, we got some grants from the City of Kansas City and Jackson County. The Bridge has been really great to us, and they're our presenting sponsor this year. Boulevard has been great to us over the years. And then we just have tons of local businesses that donate items for our auction and raffles. And if you go out to our website, MidwestMusicFoundation.org, and search on Apocalypse Meow, Scott has, in addition to being our board president, also upkeeps our website, and I've kept him very busy with sponsor logos. I'm every day sending him new ones. So we do really want to support them, because many of them are local small businesses. So, you know, go out there and thank them for supporting local music and with your business.
That sounds great. So we're going to end things here, much like they're going to end with the Apocalypse Meow. This is a track from the Expassionates. The song is called Blue Blue Town. Thank you very much, everyone. We'll see you at Mills.